been a full weekend, and my heart is very full. And some of you I've gotten to know over the weekend, and some of you are new faces this morning. But I want to greet you as a part of the church in America, as Anglican brothers and sisters, but mostly fellow disciples. I want to greet you this morning with the words of Revelation 1:9. This is Apostle John's greeting to the church when he says this. He says, as fellow participants in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, that we together have been exiled because of our commitment to the word of God and the testimony to Jesus Christ, that we are out of sync with this world together because of what Jesus is doing in our lives. Amen? So as we begin this morning, I just want to invite you to do this. If you're not holding a baby or a coffee, if you would just hold your hands out like this and clench your fists as firmly as you can. And then I want you to open your hands. And then I'd like you to turn your hands over like this. And Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask that your resurrected and ascended Son would fill our horizons. Father, even these quirky sound things, we're a family, it's okay. We just say, you're welcome here. And we ask now that you would encourage us by your own word, that you might put a new song in our mouth this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about three words. I want to talk to you about a scroll and some scars and a song. There it is, right up there on the screen. It's working. Technology's working. Well, 3 years, some of you know this, but 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. So I still have it, I'm still getting treatment, and at that same time, I had a dear friend, actually a roommate of mine at Regent College, and he was diagnosed with cancer. Sooner probably than it's part of your story. And I was standing at his grave with this diagnosis, and we were able to gather around his casket, and I had one hand on my friend's casket, and I had a handful of his grave dirt. And you're standing in the valley of the shadow of death, and you realize that death is very powerful, and it comes for us all, and it casts a very long shadow. And here at the crossroads of powers, the words of the graveside burial service come up, and they're this. It says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will stand on the earth. And after I awake, he will raise. see a mighty angel, and he's holding this scroll in his hand, and with a loud voice he's shouting out, "Is anyone worthy to open this scroll? Is there anybody who can open this scroll?" And the messengers go out from the heavenly places. They go to the heavens and to the earth, and they go under the earth. They go to every corner of creation, and as they are searching and searching and searching, they can't find somebody to open this scroll. This scroll holds the writ of human history. This scroll is the story of the world. And in the pages of that scroll, if you'll let me say it that way, are the mystery of our stories. And in the heavenly places, there's this scroll, and it's sealed, and your story, mystery of mysteries, your story is written in that scroll. And the angel is holding this scroll, and the question rings out, is there anybody who can open this? Is there anyone who is worthy of holding my story? Is there anybody who can explain and expound and show me my story? And all the angels come back. And the answer is no. No. And John begins to weep. And he begins to weep, verse 4, loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the elders standing with him says, "My friend, don't weep. Don't despair. Look. Don't despair. Look." And his attention moves away from his story to something else. The elder calls him to look away from being focused on his story to something else. And as he looks, we move from the scroll to the scars. "Look," he says, "behold the Lion of Judah." And John says, "As I turned, I see what?" What does he see, church? Did you hear it? He sees the Lamb standing there. "Behold the Lion," and I turn and I see the Lamb. I have studied the Bible for a very long time. I grew up in a fundamentalist Baptist church. And it was good to me. I'm not down on that. I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. But in that world, the only thing that was important was that you knew Jesus and you knew your Bible. I studied the Bible a lot. And then I went to a school called Moody Bible Institute. It's actually called the Moody Bible Institute. And then from there, I went to this great graduate school called Regent College, just down the street. And I am a little embarrassed to say, until way too recently, when I saw this image of the lion and the lamb, the thing in my head was some weird blend. Like a lion that's kind of a lamb-looking thing. There's weird stuff in Revelation, right? There's horns and stuff. Surely there's this kind of weird creature. But that's not, you're probably ahead of me on this one. That's not actually what he sees. It's like, look for the lion, and what he sees, he doesn't see some weird thing, he sees the lamb. He just sees a lamb. The lion is the lamb. That the power and the authority of God are the Lamb. But not just the Lamb, it's the Lamb who was slain. The one who bears our scars eternally. That when we had destroyed our lives and fallen into sin and destruction, our Father in heaven sends his Son, and with his own blood, he purchases us back from the grave, pays for us, dies on the cross, raises again, ascends, and takes the scars on his hands into the throne room of God. And we're invited to that throne room in heaven. And we see these beings, these indescribable creatures, as they're worshiping Jesus. And as they worship, you can imagine John looking around and thinking, "And this is crazy. able to hold history, he is worthy to hold history. It's not just that he is able to hold your story, it is that he is worthy to hold your story. So there's a scroll and there's these scars, and then this beautiful thing happens. A song breaks out. In this cancer journey that we've been on, as you can imagine, it's kind of stirred up some things for us. You don't have to respond to this, but you can. Is there anybody else who's ever had a cancer diagnosis? Never. It changes things, doesn't it? When I was diagnosed, I had a 3-year-old and a newborn. And all of a sudden, your timeline shortens pretty quickly. And you hold these little guys a little closer. And you kiss your wife goodnight every night. Like you should. May the Spirit apply where it needs to go. And our horizons shorten. You're like, this is the day the Lord's made. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But one of the craziest things that my wife and I realized in the middle of this cancer journey, this might be surprising, is this is not the hardest thing that I've been through. Cancer, a terminal diagnosis, a doctor saying, you're going to die. That is not the hardest thing that I've ever been through. There are actually people sitting in this room who are going through harder things than that. That there's something happening in your life that is more confusing, more tricky, dark, quiet, subtle, powerful. Maybe you've lost your way. Maybe you have been just like wrapped in deep frustration. Maybe you've been embittered by life, or you've lost things along the way. You know, when you're young, I used to have this optimism about life, because even if there's so much time out there, but you live a little while and you're like, oh, there's not time anymore. You know, you're like, oh, maybe someday I'll get to that. Then all of a sudden you're like, that's not going to be in this life. My question for you this morning is the Lamb of God, the one who is worthy, is he able to put a new song in your mouth? The church says, amen, he is. Is he able to put a new song in our mouth? As he takes up the scroll and holds it, I looked and I heard, and verse 11 says this, then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders and the voices of many angels numbering thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. One of the great scripture verses that kind of came up a few times this weekend was from Isaiah chapter 6. And if you're unfamiliar, in that text, Isaiah the prophet is having this vision of Jesus high and lifted up, and the angels are flying around, and he's in the presence of God, and the train of the robe fills the temple, which means this is a very magnified Savior. And he sees it, and he realizes, I shouldn't be here right now. I'm a dead man. Like, people, broken people can't be in the presence of God. What am I doing here? Holy, holy, holy. And that's true. But Isaiah 6 has actually been eclipsed by Revelation chapter 5. That in Jesus Christ, somehow, the Son of God takes on flesh and blood, takes on the things that we are, and brings us into the throne, paid for, so that people like you and me can be in the throne room of God. And our voice is no longer, woe is me. Our voice now is, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. So my question this morning, is he able to put a song in your mouth? The testimony of the church throughout history is yes. The testimony of the saints that are already there is yes. But you know what, church? I'm not asking them this morning. I'm Sometimes we go through things and they're actually permanent things. If you've ever lost it, lost your way, if I say that, I just sometimes wonder if I'm speaking mysteries. Do you know if I say, I got lost, do you know what I'm talking about? We're like, there's not like a pathway back. like you're like, okay, it's not just like I can kind of like go back this way and find the journey. It's like, man, what am I even doing? And sometimes you're in that spot because of you. And you have to own that. You're like, man, I knew I shouldn't have gone this way, and now I'm stuck. And sometimes you're there because of somebody else. Somebody else made decisions. Like, how did I get here? And sometimes it's just a mystery. I didn't do anything. Nobody else did anything, but I am just despairing. It's just dark all the time. This is where the promise is not that God will restore your song. It's actually He's going to give you a new song. He's going to give you a new song. So I'm asking you this morning, church. Do you believe that Jesus, the Son of the living God, seated on His throne, where every knee bows and every tongue confesses He is Lord, when His gaze finds you, is He able to put a new song in your heart? The answer is, He is. And if you agree, let the church say amen. And if you agree, let the church say amen.
Amen.
If you agree, one more. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. And He will do it. He has done it. And He will do it. Coming off of a weekend of just incredible restoration. Chad warned me when I was coming, in a very gracious way, in a very Chad kind of way. He's like, you're probably going to be blessed the most, because our community is pretty incredible. And I was like, that's a bold thing to say. And it's true. It's true. As we've just been together, watching people contend. You know what I was surprised by over the weekend? If you weren't there, it's okay. For those that were along this weekend, I shouldn't be, maybe my own jaded sense, I was surprised that people were ready to go. People were coming to that saying, like, this is what I want. We leave that weekend. As we come this morning, there's lots, maybe some loose ends to some of those places of restoration that we opened up. Or maybe you're here this morning, you're like, I wasn't along for any of that. There's stuff stirring in me. And there's loose ends in there. One of the great comforts is that Jesus might call you actually for a little while to look away from your story. Just, He's got it. And let your gaze be lifted up to see Him. Look to Him. And remember that there's a day coming when the halls of heaven will hear your voice sing. That you will be there singing the song, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." He can do that in any circumstance. Father, I just ask as we conclude this morning that if there's anybody else in this room who has or is standing with their hand on a casket and a fistful of dirt in the valley of the shadow of death, that at the crossroads of power, the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior Jesus, would see them right now. And they would know it. And they would know, even right now, that it's not our job to come up with a new song. We are the ones who receive the song you give. And so I ask, Father, by your Holy Spirit, would you give us a new song to sing? Where things have been dark, would your light shine? Where
just invite Luke to come for a moment, and I want us to take some time and just sit in the presence of the Lord and to do exactly what Dave just invited us to do. And so as you're here this morning, you all come to this space not out of a vacuum. You didn't just kind of show up here with nothing going on, right? And so we all come in and we're carrying. We've got our wounds and our scars, and some of them are really fresh. And some of them have been so long you forgot about them, but they're still deeply impacting your life. And you've got this story. And I'm just going to get Luke to play and to lead us. You can sing with him, or you can just let him sing over you. My encouragement to you is to hear the invitation that Dave laid out for us today from Scripture, to look away in this moment from the story and to fix your eyes on Jesus. To know that the story still remains, it's still right here, but we're just going to take our eyes and we're going to fix them on Jesus for a moment. We're just going to allow ourselves the permission and the freedom to look up from here. I love that. Look, the lion, and to turn around and to see a lamb. Like to have something beautiful happen right now, and that's my prayer. And I'm going to pray that as Luke begins to lead us, that, Lord, you would come, and that as we turn our faces upward, that by your Spirit you would free us from our prisons. That you would free us, Lord, to look up from our stories to the throne. And then in doing that, Father, that our eyes would be open to see the Son, open to see the Lamb who carries the scars that speak to the fact that he carries our scars. He carries our wounds. We pray, O God of your goodness, give me yourself. For you are enough for me. I can ask for nothing less that is completely to your honor. And if I do ask anything less, I shall always be in want. Only in you I have all. And so we turn our faces towards you, Lord. We lift our hearts and our lives and our voices, and we fix them on the throne right here, right in this moment, right in this space and time. Right here in the midst of the story, we lift our eyes up and we ask, Spirit, let us see Jesus.
Jesus.